Michael looked downheartedly around the room. Numbers were down for home group tonight. Some were on holiday, others were ill, and two more had just phoned to say that they'd have to stay on at the office unexpectedly. He could understand all their excuses, but he couldn't help but feel rather flat. Just three Christians sitting in a living room seemed so insignificant. In a way that scarcely disguised his disappointment, Michael welcomed the couple on the sofa and said, "Let's begin with a prayer." Well, sometimes being a Christian can seem rather ordinary. Christian living can have a rather mundane feel much of the time. And that's why the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christian community in Ephesus is a favourite part of the Bible for many. As we read Ephesians, we find that it's all about something so amazing, it's impossible to get your head round it fully. And yet that which is spoken of is the most important and significant thing of all. God's ultimate purpose for the world which he has made. As the Apostle Paul begins this letter to this church, which is in what we would today call Turkey, it's a church that he's worked with several years before. As he writes them, he praises God for some of the wonderful things that are true about those who are Christian believers. In his description, he makes a sweep from eternity past right through to eternity future, and the climax is reached as God's definitive plan is described. God has a purpose, chapter 1, verse 9, which he set forth in Christ. It is a plan for the fullness of time, something that will be completed in the future. And the plan is, verse 10, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. So do you see what God is about? Do you see what God is doing through his Son, and into which we are drawn as his people? God is going to literally sum up everything in Jesus. One day he will bring all things to the most important point in him. God is going to restore the fragmented and broken creation in which we now live. One day there will be a universe that is centered and reunited in Christ. As we call this sermon series, God is working to bring everything together in Jesus. Now, the truths that we're to encounter in Ephesians show us, like our friend Michael in his front room, that no matter how small the home group, how marginalised contemporary Christians may feel, how apparently ordinary much of life may seem, being a Christian is never insignificant. Being a Christian is enormously exciting, because it puts us at the very centre of God's plans for the future. When you're in Christ, you are already at the place to which all creation is ultimately heading. Well, do turn, if you haven't already, to Ephesians chapter 1. It's on page 1174. Now, the letter begins with praise to God for the spiritual blessings that Christians have received from being in relationship with God through Jesus. So verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Because of Jesus, God enables us to receive great spiritual benefits that otherwise we would know nothing about. Now, as Paul writes, ideas and truths come tumbling out. That section we read, verses 3 to 14, are actually one sentence of 202 words in the original. It feels like a snowball running down a hill, picking up more and more bulk as it goes. Well, as we get caught up into one of the Bible's richest passages, we see that there are blessings because of God's work in the past, present blessings experienced now, and there will be future blessings when God's plan is fully realised. So first of all then, past blessing that we know of being chosen in Christ to be his adopted children. Now, anyone who uses the internet will know the rather irritating adverts that often pop up as you're online. They say something like, "Congratulations, you have been chosen from thousands to receive a special prize." Now, being a Yorkshireman and knowing that generally speaking you don't get over note, I ignore them. But there are times that knowing you have genuinely been chosen as the recipient of something special is very special indeed, very important. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see a truth that the rest of the Bible teaches, and which at first sight can be hard to grasp, but is indeed a true spiritual blessing. Verse 4, He, that is God, chose us in Him, Christ, before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him. Then in verse 5 we read that in love He has predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. It is a remarkable truth that God the Father, before time began, in eternity past, formed a purpose. It was a purpose about the Christ, God the eternal Son who would become the Son of God on earth. And it involved those who would believe in this Christ. God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You see, God decided to put His hand on those not yet born, who could claim no deserving, that they would belong to Him through His Son. Now Jesus makes the same point when He says to His disciples in that Gospel reading, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you." In a way that we can't work out fully. Though there is a sense in which we do decide to trust in Jesus of our own free decision, God makes it clear that actually this has only been possible because He has first chosen us. Now many have found lots of questions coming to mind as they dwell on this idea of God electing or choosing a people for Himself, and perhaps tried to rather too neatly tie up all the ends. So it's important to remember that this is a truth given to Christians, not to feed our speculation, especially about others, but rather to humble us, to remind us that it is God who has put His hand on us first, and we can claim no credit. So therefore our hearts should be full of gratitude to Him that He has drawn us to Himself. If God chose us before time began to be His adopted children, then we can claim no merit for that. If we're Christians, it is because of God's grace towards us. If God chose us to be holy and blameless before Him, as Paul says here, that implies that when He thought of us originally, God saw us as unholy, being blameworthy, and therefore undeserving of His attention. And yet in His generous love, in His grace, a word we shall come back to in Ephesians, God has personally chosen, predestined a people for Himself. Now this truth that God has chosen us in Christ is a spiritual blessing, because it is in fact a great comfort. The Church of England's official basis of beliefs is the 39 articles in the back of the Red Prayer Books. Now these are statements that show how the Church of England is from its very beginning a Bible-believing institution, despite sadly the impression you might get from some leaders from time to time. Article 17 of the 39 puts this truth we're thinking of here, I think, very clearly. The godly consideration of our election in Christ, that is being chosen, is full of sweet, pleasant and unspeakable comfort to godly persons. It does greatly establish and confirm their faith of eternal salvation to be enjoyed through Christ, because it fervently kindles their love towards God. Well, I wonder this morning who needs to be reminded that if God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy in His sight, well then we can have great security and confidence in God. He has fixed His love on us, and it can never be shaken off. God will hold us fast to Himself, not because of our performance, but simply because of His generous love. God will keep us, and so He will make sure that we get to the end, acceptable to Him because of His Son. Well, this choosing, this predestining in eternity past is, according to verse 5, that we might be adopted through Jesus Christ. You might remember if you were here some weeks ago when we were beginning the series on the Lord's Prayer, that according to the Bible, we are not naturally God's children any longer because we've all turned away from Him. But in Christ, we can be adopted back into his family to receive the benefits of being his sons and daughters. The diary of a young mother contained the following entry. I stayed with my parents several days after the birth of our first child. One afternoon I remarked to my mother that it was surprising that our baby had dark hair, since both my husband and I are fair. She said, well, your dad has black hair. But Mum, I said, that's irrelevant because I'm adopted, aren't I? And then there was an embarrassed smile. She said the most wonderful words I've ever heard. Oh yes, of course. I always forget. You see, in his love, planned from the beginning of time, God our Father has adopted us into his family. We have the full privileges of being his children. God then has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, and that includes his choosing of us in the past to be his adopted sons and daughters. But there's also a present blessing, and that is of having been rescued by Christ's death. Verse 7 makes it clear what that is. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Now, redemption is one of those religious jargon words that is understood by few today. To be redeemed is literally to be bought back from some bad situation. Now, the word was used in the contemporary world of Paul to describe the situation in the slave market where a financial cost could buy back or redeem a slave. They were in bondage, some money changed hands, and they might become a free person. The idea of redemption is also found in the Old Testament. God's people were in captivity in Egypt, but they were bought back, redeemed by God. They were rescued from slavery in order to enter the freedom of the promised land. Now you may remember the story. The cost of that redemption was not financial, but rather the life and the death of a newborn lamb whose blood was painted on the Israelite doorposts. And when the angel of death passed over in judgment, the Egyptians' firstborn sons died. But God's people were spared as God's right anger fell instead on the lamb who died in place of the firstborn sons. Now this spiritual blessing that we have in Christ is that we have been redeemed. Chapter 2 of Ephesians makes it clear that all of us are naturally those who are rebellious against God. We ignore him. We're slaves to the way of life that marginalises him. We deserve to face God's righteous anger. But God has provided redemption. We have been bought back from slavery to sin so that we can instead enjoy the spiritual freedom and blessings of being God's children. But if redemption is being bought back, what was the price of this ultimate redemption? Well, it was not just a few coins in some first century Greco-Roman slave market, that's for sure. Nor was it just a newborn lamb, as in Egypt. The redemption that Christians know was made possible, verse 7, through his blood. It cost God the life of his son to rescue his people. It took the blood of the Lamb of God to bring redemption. So this buying back means nothing less than forgiveness of sins. Verse 7. God's judgment against our failure to have him at the centre of our lives is satisfied. All we have said and done and thought that displeases God is removed as an offence before him. Through Christ we've been bought back from spiritual slavery by God himself. And now in the present we have a restored relationship with him. I heard recently of a little boy who lived by the shore of a big lake. The boy loved boats and sailing, and with the help of his dad, he built his own toy vessel. Well, the boy spent months making it, and it became his pride and joy. On the day it was finished, the boy and his dad went to sail it. But as the little boat bobbed on the water, a huge gust of wind took it away from the shore, and it drifted far out of sight. The boy was distraught. Day after day, he went to the water's edge in vain. And then one day, he was wandering through the town. And he saw his beautiful boat in a shop window. Now the boy rushed in and announced to the shopkeeper that it was his, and he asked for it back. But the shopkeeper explained that the boy couldn't have it because it had been sold to him by a fisherman who had found the boat on the lake. The boy would have to pay good money for it if he wanted it back. Well, the lad was determined. So he set himself to raise the money. And after many weeks, working hard and raising the funds, he returned to the shop and bought the boat. At last, holding the precious boat in his arms again, the boy said with great joy, "You are twice mine now, because I made you and I bought you back." Well, to those of us who are in Jesus, who accept this redemption, God says, "You are twice mine now, because I made you and I bought you back through my Son's death." God then has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, and that includes our enjoyment of the present of having been rescued by Christ's death, redeemed by his blood, and given the forgiveness of our sins. Well, the final blessing is that we have a future blessing to look forward to. Now, we've seen that in the past God has chosen us in Christ, that in the present we enjoy a relationship with him because of the redemption we've experienced. As we look to the future, when God's ultimate plan of bringing everything together in Jesus becomes reality, well, then we have a great hope to look forward to. Paul explains how these Christians in Ephesus, almost all of them from a non-Jewish or Gentile background, like I suppose most of us, had responded to the gospel and received a special gift. So verse 13, "In Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." In fulfillment of the Old Testament promises, when we hear the good news of Jesus and believe in him, God himself comes to live with his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, God's Spirit does something profound in a person. Verse 13 again. "In Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Now, a seal means a mark of ownership and protection. I guess if you've walked in the country, you'll know that a modern farmer marks his sheep with a waterproof paint to prove that they are part of his flock. And other animals are even branded permanently to prove whose they are. Well, by giving his Holy Spirit to live in the hearts of those who believe in Jesus, God seals or marks us invisibly and internally. We're marked as those who belong to him, as those whom he will protect throughout the ups and downs and challenges of life. And what's more, we are to understand the blessing of the gift of the Holy Spirit to us as, verse 14, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of the inheritance to the praise of his glory. A few weeks ago, when we were sorting out accommodation for Keith and Cindy and Trey Paulus, members of the PCC decided that 9 Woodgates Close was an ideal home for an assistant minister and his family. So we gave the letting agency a deposit, a down payment, in order to secure its future use. Well, in a more personal way, that is the idea behind the word of guarantee here. By sending the Holy Spirit to live in us, God has given us a pledge that the future will become a reality. We shall ourselves experience that time when all things are brought together in Christ. And because God's Spirit lives in us now, doing for us what Jesus would do if he were still here with us in his body, well, then we actually have a small taste now of the future. God then has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, and that includes the gift of the Holy Spirit, who guarantees our inheritance and gives us a foretaste of it in the here and now. Well, being a Christian may at times feel mundane, it might feel ordinary, but in reality, it is never small scale. Being a Christian is enormously exciting because it puts us at the very centre of God's plans. We are the recipients of so many spiritual blessings, and we look forward to that ultimate blessing when all things are brought together under Christ. So if you are in Christ, you are already at the place to which all creation is ultimately heading. What could be more significant and important than that. Let's pray together.